Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
720 WGN is Dane here with you high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio until 7 o'clock. And excited to have on the line one of the NFL's greatest kickers, voicers, personalities, the all-time leading scorer for the Kansas City Chiefs and a member of their Hall of Fame, the one and only Nick Lowry. Nick, welcome to WGN.
And, you know, one of my favorite memories is having some garlic escargot in Chicago the night before we played the Chicago Bears on December 26th or 27th, 1990, and kicking five field goals against you guys in the mud and the rain and the fog, the last game of the regular season way back then. And I just never forgot the escargot and the garlic as being the secret.
Oh, well, it's good to know, and hats off, and great to get some recognition for our great food scene, right? And our food scene is always a winner, right? Great chefs, great restaurants. On the field, you know, we may not, you know, have all that much to cheer about when it comes to football this year. The Bears have been super disappointing. No bowls for the Illini or the Wildcats. But this is a time of year, you know, festivities, friends, family, and football is a big time. And so all the fans in Chicago and the 38 states in Canada that we reach are going to be, you know, watching some of these great bowl games, right? And so let's talk a little bit about your connection. Obviously, with the Chiefs is undeniable. So many great experiences in the NFL, and also helping to kind of shepherd those players on that stage for the Hula Bowl to kind of get to that next level. So talk a little bit about this, because this is a game you have been a part of for a long time. It is new because, you know, it's back, you know, after the pandemic and in a totally new location in Orlando.
You know, actually, it's kind of an interesting full circle, because I started working with Nick Logan and the Hula Bowl in Hawaii, where they had the Pro Bowl in the same stadium, which unfortunately has been condemned because they didn't, I guess, keep it up. But 3 years ago, I was suggesting that the Hula Bowl take a look at Ryan Willis, who was a star quarterback for Virginia Tech, and he got on there. Well, guess what? This past week, the Chicago Bears signed Ryan Willis to their practice squad, and it's still up in the air. They, because of all the injuries they've had and the COVID and whatever, they may actually have Ryan on the field in Seattle this weekend. So it's kind of a full circle thing. That's how I got started with the Hula Bowl, and it's a beautiful thing. My own journey was, you know, realizing it took a long time for the scouts and for the people evaluating talent to figure out I was pretty good, and it took me a while to get pretty good. And so it's been very rewarding to work with people like Brian Baldinger and this year Ron Jaworski and 100 different NFL scouts that are going to be evaluating the top 100-110 college football players, some of whom are going to the Senior Bowl, but many now are going to Orlando for the Hula Bowl.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the challenges that are going on with the game, whether it's the pandemic, whether it's the stadium itself out in Hawaii and that great history. But I see this as a real win. As a guy who covers things all around the country, I would much, I mean, Hawaii is nice. There's nothing against that. Obviously, it's a great and exotic location, but it's just so much more accessible. So I see it being just a place that so many more scouts, so many more teams, so many more players, even fans can get to.
It has a 75-year history and legacy, and I actually got my 75-year ring, and it's a big one, by the way. It really is beautiful. But Nick Logan and frankly myself as well believe that at this time, especially with all of the uncertainties, to be able to get more accessibly to Orlando, and with Governor DeSantis welcoming us as being a friend of the game itself, I think we have a long history ahead of us, and we're able to, if you will, marry both the Hula Bowl and something starting its own new legacy, which is El Bandito Yankee Tequila, which I just love being part of a team led by Jim Bob Morris. And, of course, Chris Chilios, who's been a Stanley Cup champion three times, or he's one of the great players, to be part of a great team. So I'm excited about this because it's going to be, I think, a win-win for everyone. We're excited about, as Jim Bob Morris, who played at Kansas State and played with me briefly with the Chiefs and then finished with the Green Bay Packers, he appreciates, you know, that process of aspiring to greatness and the hard work it takes. So we're really excited about it.
You got to have that vehicle in the game. In our next segment, when we come back from the news, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the cool things that are happening with El Bandito Yankee, and it's exciting. We've got great Chicago connections here, obviously Chris Chelios, but every time the Blackhawks score a goal, we break out the Bandito. So I know that that is going to be a lot of fun as we build some of those elements into the Hula Bowl. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk with Nick Lowry about some of the things that are going to happen there. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the ways that the Hula Bowl is not only great entertainment for sports fans, but a great resource, not only for those players to make that case for the NFL, but for the teams to be able to see that talent in front of them and build those great next careers in the NFL as well. So we're going to take a quick break, and we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with the one and only Nick Lowry. So keep it here. WGN, it is Dane here with you until 7 p.m. and continuing our conversation with one of the NFL's greatest kickers, the all-time leading scorer for the Kansas City Chiefs and part of that great broadcast team for the Hula Bowl this year, the one and only Nick Lowry. Nick, welcome back.
Thank you, brother Dane.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what this is and what it can be, because you have, I think, as a college player, it's one thing to play in a bowl game. That's great. But this has got some real star power, too, on the coaching side, right? You've got all those scouts are watching, but also on the coaching on the sidelines. You're getting some of the best in the business.
You got the Super Bowl coaches, Mike Smith, formerly with Atlanta, Brian Billick, Super Bowl champion with the Ravens, and Wade Phillips. I was dancing the electric slide with Wade Phillips at 2 a.m. on the NFL cruise in the Caribbean about 20 years ago. He's a character one of the better defensive coordinators in the history of the NFL.
What is it like from the player's perspective? You've seen them up close. Obviously, they want to do well. Obviously, they want to make a case. They want to show well so they can up the prospects for them in the draft. But what is it like for them to be a part of a game like this? It's got to be cool.
Well, you know, a lot of people that make it in the NFL make it not just because they have the talent. It's because they are dependable. They have that sense that the scouts are looking for the character to work hard, to deal with the much higher level of scrutiny. I mean, the analogy, of course, is the kicker is that you miss one kick. I mean, remember the kicking woes you had before former Kansas City kicker Cairo Santos came to Chicago, right? One kick. I mean, that one kick really that sealed the fate of the former kicker was maybe very, very slightly blocked with a fingernail or something, and yet that was the end of his career. Well, the same is true for other positions as well. There's a level of scrutiny that you're just not used to sometimes. So helping differentiate between the players that are playing on their laurels, that don't have the work ethic and the capacity to understand a game plan, work with others. If you look at the probably greatest coach in the history of the game with Belichick in New England, he looks for the players that find a way in the midst of the game to take this so-called the theory and the game plan and apply it when everything's moving and everything's unscripted, right then, right in the middle where it's unpredictable. Those players have to be able to learn and deal with being criticized unfairly in the press, with social media, not let that dominate themselves. You look at Tyrann Mathieu, for instance, a guy that in college got a bad reputation because he misbehaved at one point, completely resurrecting his career in Kansas City. He just got elected yesterday to the Pro Bowl again, Chiefs defensive MVP, leader on the team. The scouts are looking for the guys that can come back from adversity, be team players, and when the going gets tough, they get tougher. They truly do. That is the hardest thing to figure out. Talent's there, but it's that those little intricate character details that allow a player to adjust from one head coach to another, to be able to deal with changes in defensive and offensive schemes. That's a hard thing. The game is so fast-paced now. There's so much pressure. Those are the things they're really looking for.
It's the intangibles, right? There's so much that you can see from, let's say, the games, the videotape or whatever, but to see it in person, I don't know if there's a substitute. And I think I read somewhere there's going to be like 90 scouts like on site there looking at the players here at the Hula Bowl.
Well, there are 90 NFL scouts and 11 Canadian Football League's got. So that gets us to 101, which I just love that round figure. And, you know, that's three per team, right? They're 32 teams, right? That's three scouts per team. So it really does show that the accessibility of Orlando is really helping. And plus, I think with COVID, whatever the reasons are, I think that this is a time when the All-Star Games now are really the Hula Bowl and the Senior Bowl. The Senior Bowl has always been a kind of a low-key, very important time, but now you're going to have and are having, we're witnessing a lot of these players now coming to Orlando. So we're looking forward with Nick Logan and with my buddy Jim Bob Morris, yeah, and the team from El Bandito, and this future in Orlando being a long one, and it's just going to get better.
Well, what happens on the field, so much a consequence for the future of the, but the fun, right? That's what the fans are into, and that is why it is so cool to have El Bandito Yankee in on this. I know some of the things are still yet to be formed, but as far as the halftime show, the flyover, certainly a lot of the receptions, and then this great tailgate, right? And we don't know necessarily, you know, which local causes are going to be supported, maybe some with some of the veterans, maybe the Children's Hospital, but there's a lot of pizzazz that, you know, I think that what this relationship with El Bandito Yankee is going to bring to the Hula Bowl is just sort of that star power that maybe the other games don't have.
I think Governor DeSantis and, you know, the people in Florida are excited because it's a rubber stamp that Florida is open for business. And, you know, that's been the other side of the story of COVID, is in the midst of being safe, in the midst of getting the vaccine, in the midst of, you know, figuring out as hard as it's been what is possible to be done, there have been a lot of casualties in the business sector. And Florida has remained open for business, and we're excited. We think we're going to have a way to be safe, to observe the proper protocols, but at the same time put on one hell of a game. And most people are beginning to think that 2022 is going to be the end of this pandemic, and, you know, we look for bigger and better things, and I think El Bandito will be a huge part of that.
Well, Nick, we want to talk a little bit about it, too. It's a time when there's a lot of fun, a lot of festivities and family and friends, but some people need some extra help, and that's one of the things that you've always been doing, whether it was during your playing career and, of course, now with Champions for the Homeless, and this is the time of year when you need that stuff. I know you're doing stuff all year round, but talk a little bit about, during the holiday times, what you have going on.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. You know, by the way, anybody that's in Chicago, wherever you are, you know, if I can ever help with that, we started 16 years ago. The key thing is at St. Vincent de Paul, you have stable leadership. And I just thought, you know, we can do something to celebrate and make Christmas and make Thanksgiving and Easter and in the summer when it's blazing hot here, put a human face on the homeless. So we get 1,000 flowers, we get 1,000 gift certificates, we get thousands of dollars of clothing. I'm giving away 500 sweatshirts, 500 underwear and socks, and then we have the best musicians in town, and we have Miss Arizona singing and amazing music. But most importantly, though, it is what Christmas is really about, what Thanksgiving's really about, which is, it's about love. It's not about what am I getting. What, you know, it's about contributing, and it's amazing when you help acknowledge people that have been in the shadows and look them in the eye, and suddenly it's 10 and 20 and 100 and 200 volunteers that are saying the same thing, and not just with their words, but with their love and their embracing of the non-judgmental support for the homeless. It's amazing when you see these layers, these scales just fall off, this emotional protection disappear. It's one of the most heartwarming human experiences of my life. And the children of the athletes, the children of the volunteers, they all say this has transformed their lives. Their parents say, you know, I don't know about the other kinds of addiction, they're all bad, but there's one addiction that has transformed the life of my child, which is realizing they can help adults, realizing that the rest of their life they're going to find a way to make sure that they give back. That's the ultimate addiction. Chicago has a great tradition of that, one of the great, you know, capitals of philanthropy, and it's about, I think, helping everybody discover that's where most of the vacancies are in their soul. That's the part around this time of year when people feel extra lonely, extra abandoned, extra conflicted with, you know, the mercenary quality of Christmas, and getting back to what it's really about, which is truly love.
we're going to have links up at WGNRadio.com. It's about being that example, too, and kind of sharing what it is that not only you're doing, but what can be done. And so, Nick, before we let you go, give the website out where people can get more information, support what you're doing, and maybe start some things up here in Chicago.
I'd be honored to do that. And, you know, Jim Bob Morris has always made it important to give back. He started the Morris Family Diversity, Cultural Diversity Center at Kansas State and Family Foundation there. The way you get involved, just you can Google Champions for the Homeless, Nick Lowry, L-O-W-E-R-Y, or Nick Lowry, N-I-C-K-L-O-W-E-R-Y, .org or .com. There's all sorts of information there. And all I can say is, whatever you do, if you can change the life and help the life of one person every day, it will transform your life. A lot of people know this, but just take the action, be intentional about it. That's the best New Year's resolution you can make.
One of the very best in the business, on field and off. Great to get a shout out for Chicago food. We won't get it for football, and not just the pizza or the hot dogs, but our garlic escargot. I didn't expect that. Nick Lowry, we'll let you get back to it. Thanks so much. Merry Christmas, and thanks for jumping
on
the show
Dane.
Today.
Merry Christmas, brother.